I want to show you some early presents I got for my 24th anniversary. Thank you for being my pastor. Thank you for helping me learn about God. Thank you for being a good leader. These will find a very special place to hang in my office. They mean more to me than you can begin to imagine. I recall a day in seminary when a professor warned us about having friends in the church. I remember looking around at fellow classmates trying to figure out what in the world he was talking about. 40 years later, I think I know a little bit about what he was saying. And yet, had I taken his advice, I think I would have had a very lonely existence. What I discovered this week, and I just thought it was appropriate, and that's why I changed my message, is that as we've gone through the book of Acts and we have walked with the Apostle Paul through his conversion experience and we've seen what God was doing in his life, and last Sunday he stood at Mars Hill and we talked about how he saw that the people there were curious. They were always wanting something new. I hope you'll remember from that message that there are those like the experience Elijah had, where Elijah, after the Mount Carmel experience, was running for his life. Jezebel wanted to kill him, and he's whining and complaining, and there was this amazing set of events that happened. There was this great wind that broke the rocks, and it says God wasn't in the wind. And there was an earthquake, and God wasn't in the earthquake. And then there was a fire, and God wasn't in the fire. And then there was a still, small voice. Oh, so many people today are wanting to find the wind and the earthquake and the fire. And God isn't in that. God's in a still, small voice. Those people were curious. They were religious. Apostle Paul was religious. And his religion drove him to killing people in the church. And they were industrious. They built all kind of temples. Athens was filled with temples to every pagan deity you could imagine. And then, as I began to read these next chapters, I kept seeing individual names, and it dawned on me. And I was thinking about, and I hope you'll forgive me this morning. I have no idea what I'm going to say. I mean, I have an idea. But I want you to indulge me. I want to just be very personal for a few moments with my church. 24 years is a long time. Diane and I were thinking about it. We've been married for 48 years, so half of our married life has been here. Half of our life together has been with you. I thought about these passages, and if you'll notice chapter 18, I want to just point out about five things that pastor's friends make possible. In the 18th chapter of the book of Acts, it says that Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. He found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla. Because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came to them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. He worked. For by their occupation, they were tent makers. First of all, I want to say to you that preacher's friends enable him to do his work. When Diane and I left Fort Benning at the end of 1976 and cleared out of quarters, we knew that I'd been accepted in seminary. I was given the name of a pastor in Jacksonville where we went before Luther Rice moved to Atlanta area and became the big school it is now. It started humbly at Central Baptist Church in Jacksonville and then occupied buildings on Hendricks Avenue downtown. It became a significant part of my life. I got a wonderful education there. They taught me to appreciate God's Word and how to study it and how to use the tools that were available. We had a little girl, our oldest daughter, who's now 40-something, and it's hard to believe my oldest child is that old. And We had no job. And from the moment our foot got there, God put people in our life that made it possible for us to fulfill His call on our life. We never missed a meal. We always had a roof over our head. I look back on it now and I wonder, and I said, Diane, how did that happen? I have forgotten so much. That's one of the things that happens as you get older. You forget a lot of little details. I wish I could go back and remember all the specific details of that time. But what happened with Paul is Paul came to this city and had to live to do the ministry. And God brought him into the life of a man and his wife, Aquila and Priscilla. And their friendship enabled him to do his job. What I want to say to you this morning is I am here today, and whatever God has done that has been worthwhile and worthy in this church has happened because you have enabled me to fulfill the calling of God on my life. You gave me a place to do it. You gave me a home. You gave me a church family. And so I want to just pause and say thank you for enabling me to do the thing that God called me to do. Without you, I couldn't have done it. I may have done it a different way, but that's not what happened. What happened is you created a place for us to get to know people and to have a livelihood so that we could raise our children to finish them all the way through high school and see them all married. And so I just am humbled and thankful to you for enabling that to take place. So Paul's friends enabled him to do the work. And then I want to tell you the second thing I discovered is a preacher's friends encourage him in his work. This same couple, Aquila and Priscilla, in chapter 24, it describes them doing this. A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the Spirit. He spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him to them and expounded to him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come helped them much who had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. There is a difference between criticism and encouragement. I am indebted through these 40 years to those lay people who have loved me enough to sit down and talk with me and encourage me in the work that I do. There are a number of people in this church I regularly receive a card from, and it seems to always come at the very moment I need it to say thank you. One of our ladies, after what I said to the children last week, wrote me a wonderful card this week and said, in all my years, I've never heard a pastor talk to children the way you talked to the children last week and say what you said to them. And I want you to know that that meant a lot to me. What she doesn't realize is that note meant a lot to me. It is wonderful to be encouraged because most of us resign every Monday morning. Now you laugh, but I'm serious. Most preachers have their pen in their hand ready to write that letter of resignation on Monday morning. I hear a lot of guys talking about the difficulty of the ministry. And so I want to say thank you again for the encouragement you've given me. You don't last 24 years on your own energy. I promise you that. There is no way I could be where I am today had it not been at critical times in these many years we've been together, that you, at the right moment, saying the right thing, doing the right thing, have lifted my spirits and got me over a hurdle that I needed to get over. Aquila and Priscilla did that. So a preacher's friends enable him to do his work, and they encourage him in his work. The third one's a little more difficult. The third one is a preacher's friends endure through difficulties. In chapter 19 and verse 8, we read this. He went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus, and continued there by the space of 2 years. 2 years. So that all they that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. I hope you understand this. Now, I'm not saying what I'm about to say to throw rocks at anybody. I often sit and think about if all the people in these 24 years that came here had stayed. If all the people that came here had stayed, the debt we have on that building would be paid. We would have at least 2 more staff members, and we'd be back in 2 or 3 services on Sunday morning. I believe that with all my heart. These people didn't bail out on Paul when it got tough. I was so naive when I went into the ministry. I had been the part of a miracle. I came to Columbus from Germany in 1974. Military career, I was on my way. My ticket was punched. Without bragging, I just tell you, I had done all the right things in all the right places and had the pedigree and the certificates and had graduated top of my class and done all the stuff you're supposed to do till God changed my mind. He brought me to a church. Diane started going to that church, and I remember the Sunday that our Sunday school director, his name was Mars Wampler. I'll never forget his name. Our Sunday school director stood up in that little church and said, we're going to have 200 in Sunday school. There was audible laughter in the church. 3 years later, that church was running over 1,000. We were a part of that. I got spoiled. I thought that's the way church was supposed to be. I figured, hallelujah, God's called me to do this. I'm ready for this. And then I went to my first church. Someone asked me after I was there for 8 years, why do you stay? It was hard. I mean, I had a deacon. One deacon, if it wasn't in the budget, David, you didn't get it. I'm talking about light bulb. I'm talking about paperclip. If it wasn't in the budget, you didn't get it. This was the same deacon that kept a little book of all the people he'd run out of the church and liked to show it to me with pride. These are the people I cleansed the church from. Church is not always pretty. Church is not always fun. I thank God that we are where we are now because some people decided to stay and put some roots down and endure, even when it wasn't fun to endure. This church will be 175 years old next year. Did you know that? 175 years. A lot of water's gone under the bridge in 175 years. A lot of good times, a lot of hard times. But I'm thankful for those that have endured like these did. That was an encouragement to Paul. He wasn't alone. When you're doing hard things, it's always good to look over your shoulder and know there's somebody standing with you, that you're not by yourself. So again, can I thank you? Thank you for staying with it, for not giving up. My concern is it's far easier for somebody to go park on somebody else's dime than to stay and make it your dime. It's easier to go plug in where somebody has expended the blood, sweat, and tears for years to build something great, and you just go sit down and enjoy the fruits of what they did, than to stay where you are and build what you want it to become. And I'm saying that as a challenge to you. We have a wonderful opportunity to build a great children and youth ministry in this church. That will not be accomplished by calling a staff member to do it. That will help. But I'm here to tell you that the ministry will be done by us. I've never seen a ministry grow because of one person alone. Because people come and go. But the ministry stays. So thank you for enduring through difficult times. In chapter 19, verse 22, so he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered to him, Timotheus or Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia. Pastor's friends, preacher's friends, enlarge the ministry. Yesterday was such an encouragement for me at men's breakfast. Guys, I don't want to fuss. I wished I knew what it would take to get some of you to show up. That I treasure that time. But what happened yesterday is when we finished breakfast and a wonderful time of Bible study, a group of our men left with brochures about our church and went to hand out those brochures up on 27 to invite people to come to church to be here. You will reach people I will never be able to reach. There are people that you know that won't give a preacher the time of day, but they will listen to you. And they'll watch your example. Studies have been done through the years. People don't come to church for the preacher. People don't come to church for the building. People don't come to church for the program. The vast majority of the people that come to church come because of somebody who invited them or in whose life they saw a difference and a change. They saw real Christian behavior. This church will grow when we together begin to invite and encourage and draw our friends and our acquaintances and even our family members to come with us to church. It's been that way since I've been here. I look back at those days when we were doing great things, when we were in two worship services, and it was because people were excited and they were telling their friends about coming and being a part of what God was doing. So preachers enlarge the ministry. And one final thought, in chapter 20, here's a bunch mentioned. Let me begin in verse 4 of chapter 20. There accompanied him to Asia Sopater of Berea and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus of Asia and Tychius and Trophimus. These going before tarried for us at Troas. They waited for us, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, came to them at Troas in 5 days, where we abode for 7 days. And on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached to them, ready to depart on the morrow and continue his speech in the midnight. And I'd love to read the story about Eutychus, but that's just a warning about falling asleep. He fell and died, and Paul had to bring him back to life. The point about that is that preacher's friends get to experience the work with him. The great joy is a joy that we share together. When we see somebody walk the aisle and give their heart to Jesus, that's one of the greatest joys you will ever have. It's not about the budget. It's not about the staff. It's not about the buildings. It's about seeing someone who is lost and headed for hell. And because of the ministry of you as a church, that life is turned around and they give their heart to Jesus and you can see the change in their life. That will bring you more joy than to fill the church up so that every pew is full and so that we have all the ministries that we believe we want to have and everybody's happy? Oh, I got a clue for you. That ain't going to happen. But it's a nice thought and a wish that everybody could be happy. It just isn't going to happen. So I want to, for the fifth time, say thank you. My old story that I've wore out is still true. If you're walking down the road and you see a turtle on a fence post, two things are true. He didn't get there by himself. And if he gets anywhere else, he's going to have some help. I didn't get here by myself. And wherever we go, we will go together. And so I want to thank you. Usually at times like this, people want to say things about the pastor. And I don't know what's going to happen Saturday night. We're having a supper together. We're going to celebrate it together, my understanding is. I just needed a time. And it seemed like this morning would be that time because of what the scriptures, where I am. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit just keeps sticking those things right where I need them. But I'm looking through and I'm seeing all these things about how preacher's friends enable him to do the work. They encourage him in the work. They endure the work even when the work is hard. They help him expand the work. And they get to experience the work with him so that it's a shared joy. Piney Grove Baptist Church, thank you. Father, would you bless these dear people? May it really be true that the very best is yet to come. May it be that we make a decision as a church to reinvigorate our own spirit, to call upon your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we might see miracles take place of healing and restoration, that we might see not just boys and girls, but grown-ups come to Christ, that we might become everything you want us to become, that the ministries that you want us to do, we will be able to do, that God, you will touch our hearts to give so that we can pay this debt off, so that we can have the ministries we want to have, so that, God, we can make a difference in this part of Harris County, so that families that are torn apart can be put back together, so children who've been neglected, in some cases even abused, could have a peaceful, joyful life, so that people who are addicted could come off of the addictions, and Lord, all the other ailments and things that are going on, this church could make a significant difference in doing. Lord, I don't know of any other place I'd rather be than right here. I'm thankful for this church. We are not perfect. We have our flaws and our freckles and our shortcomings, but God, I'm so grateful that we're together. I pray that as the days follow, you will raise up in this church a spirit of enthusiasm and excitement. And together, God, truly we will see the greatest days yet in the future. Now, Lord, bless them. Thank you for their patience in listening to me this morning. And God, we ask you to bless the evening and, Lord, keep them safe in a little while when they travel. But, Lord, I'm always mindful that present in this room is your sweet spirit. It may be that you've spoken to someone's heart and there's a decision they need to make. God, there may be a lost person here that needs to know Jesus. There's a church member that needs to be restored. There's someone who is grieving over something in their life. Lord, I don't know all the possibilities, but you do. So as we sing together, God, there's an altar where they can come and pray. And I'm going to stand here and be available if they need to talk to me and encourage them, whatever it is they need to be encouraged in. Lord, this is your time. All of it is your time, but especially now, this is your time. Speak to our hearts. Encourage us, we pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.